Shake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CAGcast, episode number 147. Hello, Wombat. How are you today?
I'm cold.
Happy Obama Day to you.
Yeah, how was your big O?
My big O? Same as usual. It involved a crunchy sock.
Nice. Yeah. That's why I use tissues, disposable.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't want to get up, though.
See?
You got to get a tissue. It takes all the romance out of it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you got it's all about spontaneity. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the Obama stuff, but I did. You know, it's a big story here in Japan. It's a big story all over the world because I think everybody.
I was going to say it's a big story in lots of places.
Yeah, because everybody couldn't wait to see Bush get the hell out of there. Not just Americans, but you know, every country, everywhere. I mean, I had lunch yesterday at my usual soba place. And I was bringing my tray back, and like the guy that I know there comes over to me and he goes, "Obama." I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, yeah, Obama. But I don't know. I watched some of the speech this morning. It seemed pretty good. It's amazing just how many people showed up, though. I mean, it's incredible.
I know. He better do a good job.
Well, he's certainly starting off with a lot of work to do. I mean,
I know.
Stock market tanked again this morning, I saw.
It's bad. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. And then I had a rough morning today because Ty was homesick on Monday. And he's had the shits for a while. Remember we talked about this last week.
Ty's sick a lot.
Well, you know, if you go to daycare, especially in the wintertime, you tend to get sick a lot.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
That and, you know, I keep him out on the balcony naked sometimes.
That'll do it.
But
then he only sleeps like 4 hours a day.
No, he sleeps plenty. So, but now he's on this thing where he wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which does not coincide with my go to bed at 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. lifestyle. Because I'm the one that has to take care of him basically, you know, all the time. So now I think he's got the problem that Sabrina has. Now I think he's backed up.
You have to put a half an ounce of prune juice
in his butthole?
Whatever liquid you feed him. Is he still on formula?
No, he eats real food. He's almost.
I know, but he has to drink something.
Yeah, no, he drinks formula a little bit. And
okay.
Tea. He drinks tea.
When you give him a little bit of formula or whatever juice you give him, put like a half an ounce of prune juice.
Yeah. Well, I dropped him off at daycare this morning, and he was
crying. Don't do more than that at first. That's my warning.
You've had an explosive problem.
You will have an explosive problem, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I had to explain to the daycare people this morning because he was crying when I dropped him off, and he never cries. I think he's more than happy to go to daycare. It's a lot more interesting than hanging out with me. So I dropped him off this morning, and he's crying like nonstop. And I explained to him that, you know, he only took one shit yesterday, you know, when he came home, and nothing today. So I'm like, you know, I got to do like a lot of sound effects and stuff. So like, I'm pointing to my stomach and I'm going,
It's amazing how important pooping becomes to a parent.
Oh, I mean, people wonder like why we talk about poop a lot on this show. It surrounds our life and any parent.
It's such a big part. Like, because, you know, Sabrina's like a once a day pooper.
Oh,
and if she
wow.
does, and she will go like sometimes 3 days without it all.
Wow.
Which, well, that's when we have to give her the prune juice.
Right.
But once we give her the prune juice, it's like, you know, exploding baby, you know, hold at your own risk.
Of course. It's all about, you know, they shit the clothes. You got to wash the clothes. And I got to do everything.
It gets on the back of their neck.
That's disgusting. That we've never had.
Yet.
So I don't know. I had that going on. And that just started. And then he was so upset this morning. Couldn't leave the house. That's why we're getting started late today. But I don't know. I'm excited for Obama. See if he can turn the country around.
How do we talk about Obama and turn that into baby poop?
I don't know, because it was just part of my morning. Because every news channel was showing
it's the magic of the CADcast.
Well, they were showing the whole speech this morning on basically every TV channel here. That's like so much of a big deal. Yeah, well, of course there, but I don't know. I had a good week last week. I did something pretty cool that I've sort of always wanted to do and never did before. I went to a barbershop, like an old school barbershop. A friend of mine, Ren, who I had brunch with last weekend, who's another bald whitey living in Tokyo, told me that I should go to a barbershop and get my head and beard shaved.
So you got everything shaved? Just the head?
I got everything
shaved. Just the head and beard?
What else would I get shaved?
There are the areas where a man has hair.
That barbershops will shave?
In Japan.
I don't know if it's a barbershop. For some reason, there's like a million old school barbershops in my town. Barbershops and glasses stores and dry cleaners. So it was awesome. I got like the old school straight razor treatment. If it didn't cost $35, I would go every week and do it and never shave again.
That's expensive. You know how much it costs for me to get my hair cut?
$10.
Yes, it does. It costs actually $11.
You go to like Supercuts or something?
No, there's a guy right up the road.
Yeah, but like I think you know it's actually a lot of work to use that old school blade. Like it took a long time. It took like an hour, it seemed, but it was pretty cool.
Were you nervous?
No,
a guy with a straight razor right by your.
This guy's
that's
probably
your moneymaker, though.
It's not my moneymaker. You know, this guy's probably shaved, 1,000 people. I mean, he's kind of old. He's been there for a while, you know. It's old school.
Next thing you know, you have no nose.
Right. Hey, by the way, remember, I know we mentioned this on the show, I had sent you a gift in the mail and it never showed up?
Yes, I do recall.
Well, it showed up back at my apartment because I got your address wrong.
Well, that's because you don't listen.
I just swapped out one of the numbers, but I have the card here, and I thought I would read you the card.
Oh, by all means.
Because I did write it up. I sent Wombat a card with a check in it.
Yes, he did. It was very nice, and I thanked him profusely.
Yes. Well, you didn't actually thank me profusely, but you thanked me.
In where I come from, that's profuse.
Right. Okay, anyway, let me read you. That's not the point. The point is that I'm going to read you this card. It was actually a very cool card. It has sumo wrestlers on it, and it's green and black and cheap-ass gamer colors. Okay, here we go. Dearest Wombat, thanks for all your CADcast contributions in 2008. I hope that you and your family have a happy Hanukkah and a great new year. Cheapy.
It's very sweet of you.
Yes, maybe I'll take a picture of the card so people can see it.
Can see that you have a soul. Are you vying to not win Douchebag of the Year 2009?
I'm starting early this year to try to get out of that. And speaking of cards, I ordered you new business cards for Comic-Con. When is Comic-Con?
It's the first weekend of February, second weekend of February. It's the 7th.
Okay, whenever the 7th
whatever,
is.
Yeah, whatever the 7th is. That's when I'll be there. I am getting a pass from our friends at UGO.
Oh. Are you going to be like hanging out at their booth? Do they have a booth or something? No.
They're not having the booth this year. They usually do. This year they're not having it. But
they have that truck, right?
Yeah, they have the truck. They won't be having the truck this year. I was disappointed, but right. I'll be in. And having a good time, hope.
So if you want to meet Wombat, that's the place to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That and Mazapiva.
Meet Wombat. I'll sign your boobs.
Good luck with that. Your man boobs, most likely.
I was going to say, I'm sure there are a lot of guys who want me to sign their boobs.
All right, Wombat. Let's do a little bit of show feedback from last show. A lot of people, you know, we had an interview with Nick Suttner, formerly of EGM and 1UP, and now doing the Rebel FM podcast and trying to make a buck or two. A lot of people liked it, but a lot of people didn't like it. It was a pretty mixed bag. Frisky Tanuki says it was nice to see 2008 Douchebag of the Year winner GPD get shown up when Wombat asked Nick a question relating to the 1UP FM podcast, and GPD showed off his award-winning talent by being clueless because he cannot be bothered to listen to other podcasts. Good show. It was nice to hear an interview with Nick since you guys have talked about that being a possibility for a long time. It's not because I don't listen to other gaming podcasts, not because I can't be bothered to listen to, but, you know, I'd like to do other things besides just read and listen to video game stuff, you know? And why would I, when I can, why would I listen to amateur broadcasters when I can listen to the king of all media, Howard Stern? Makes
he's
no sense.
He's so 5 years ago. His time is done.
His time is not done.
He's, as Jay Leno put it, Howard Stern is irrelevant.
Right, Jay Leno is a real talent.
Jay Leno is more relevant than Howard Stern.
He's not really, actually.
He is, though.
Why?
Howard Stern isn't a man of the people anymore.
Why do you
say he's a man of I'll pay to listen to him.
No. But Wombat, you realize the reason he went to satellite radio is not just because of the money. It's because he couldn't.
I know for a fact.
No. I mean, have you listened to his show before he left regular radio? He couldn't do a show.
He was unhappy with the FCC
and
all that nonsense.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. He couldn't do anything.
So why not put the show on the internet for free?
Because that's not a great business move. How do you eat with that?
Well, now he could do it. He has the money now. His original contract will be up in a year. Why not just retire from satellite and become a man of the people again and put your show on the radio for free? I think he has enough to feed his family.
That's stupid. Well, now he does because he got that deal.
Why is it stupid?
Because why would you do something like that, you know, for free?
So he could be relevant again.
All right. I'm sure he has.
He's not relevant. Dude. I can't tell you one thing Howard Stern has said in the last 3 years.
Well, I can.
Yeah, because you download his show illegally. And
I am a serious subscriber. I pay my $12.99 every month, so I may download it illegally, but I still pay for it.
Which is sad in itself.
But I,
$12.99 a month? I mean, that's expensive.
It is expensive, but I get a lot of entertainment from it, and to me, it's worth it. Look, I don't have a lot of stuff going on here. I take whatever I can get, and I appreciate the quality of the show. The fact is, he probably has just as many listeners as Jay Leno has viewers.
No, actually, he doesn't. I think that was like one of the things that came out, is that, no, I think Jay Leno has about
5 million.
10 times.
No, what? Okay, let's not talk about that. We're getting off track here. You don't know what you're talking about. Despite the fact that you used to work for his agent, you still don't know anything. And speaking of award winners, I saw a picture of the podcast award that we didn't win. If you see that picture, that link right there.
Oh, is that what that is?
I guess I didn't make it a link, so you have to...
I have to, like, cut and paste it. Right. I'll take a look later.
It looks just like last year's award, except it says 2008 on it.
Ooh, exciting.
It's exactly the same. Traba Haba, also like last week's show, he said, I found this episode to be one of the best CADcasts in quite some time, although it may not be interesting for all those listening to delve into the personal life of Nick Sutner. I found it fascinating to hear a personal account of what so many people are facing in this economy. Nick seems to be a consummate professional. I really enjoyed his interview. Except when he started running towards the Wii booth. That's the only time when he wasn't a consummate professional. But he actually
wasn't.
He was
only running because his friend was running.
Right, and he wasn't actually a professional then. A lot of people, though, did not like the show. They did not like the interview with Nick. DeFatty was one of them. He says, not a big fan of this episode. Felt like a rehash of previous game journalism interview mixed in with some tidbits on the 1UP layoffs and frequent absolutely no one reads your blog insults from Cheapy. Those weren't insults. Why do people think that they were insults? I was just merely making the point that you can get a job in the business by starting a blog that, even if it's just you reading it, you know, it becomes a portfolio of your work. It doesn't matter if people read your blog or not, although it does require a lot of willpower and dedication to put a lot of work together on a blog that nobody reads. It wasn't meant to be an insult. I don't know why people take things the wrong way sometimes, Wombat. Oh, and he also says, it didn't help that Wombat was on his period. He certainly didn't sound like he even wanted to do the show. Instead, he should have been sitting in front of the TV with a tasty beverage in one hand and a 360 controller in the other.
I'm trying to figure out if that's an insult or not.
Right, of course you'd rather do that. I'd rather be doing that.
Like, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, especially if the beverage is tasty.
Right.
I mean, you're qualifying it with that.
Right. It might be difficult to play with the beverage in your hand and the controller in your hand.
Yes. But there were also a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask Nick that I didn't get a chance to.
It's really hard. I find that it's really hard to do an interview like that over Skype three ways because of the delay that we, you know, like a little bit of latency. I talked about that last week, you know, why we don't have Shipwreck on more often. It's just once you add that third person in the mix and you're doing everything virtually, it gets even more difficult. It's hard with two people. It's really hard with three.
Yeah, it's also part because, you know, something that I was thinking about that I wanted to talk to Nick about, I could talk about it with you now, though.
Sure.
Was the idea that there really is no such thing as game journalism, that it's really consumer journalism. That's what enthusiast media really is. It's consumer journalism, where the impetus of every article written, whether it comes from someone's honest opinion or not, the impetus at the end is whether or not you buy something.
I mean, that's not 100% what we see, but I mean, yeah, that's the biggest part of it. Certainly,
what's the point of a review?
No, you're right. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's not every single article isn't a preview or a review, but yeah, certainly the vast majority.
I would say the gist of every article still winds up with every article about games at its meat is about whether or not you should buy a product.
Well, not when you see like some of the business side stuff, but.
That's what the business side is.
Well, that's about, you know, who, if people bought it or not. But I know what you're saying. You're right. You're not wrong, Wombat. I'm just saying it's not, you know.
And I think that there's a lot of dressing up on editorial side, especially in game journalism, where people think they're above the consumer aspect. And I think that that's a false way to view it when really all you're writing at the end of the day, all you're writing is buy or don't buy.
Right. And you're putting a number on it in most cases.
Yeah, exactly. No, so
it's true. I mean, but I don't know necessarily that game writers see themselves as anything more than that.
Well, that's really the question that we didn't get to ask.
Right, right. Well, I think they know where their bread is buttered.
Well, do they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, they
I
know
see.
What...
I'm going to say the exact opposite. I'm going to say that the, you know, and I'll be the bad guy here. I'm going to say the editorial staff that got laid off for the most part wasn't proactive enough to keep their own business afloat. I don't think that they felt that they were part of that.
I don't think you can blame it on them. I think you got to blame it on the business side. It's not their fault that they have too many people working there. It's not their fault. It's not the editor's fault that they can't sell ads, you know.
Well, I'm not saying that it's all their fault.
I'm going to disagree.
But I'm just going to say that by doing nothing. I mean, did they not know? The general consensus was they all knew something was wrong.
Right. Maybe they were spending too much money on certain things, like trips to Japan, you know, to do interviews and stuff. But I don't know. Like, is writing more investigative journalism pieces going to really, like, save the company? I don't think
so. I'm talking about reaching out to the sales department on their – I mean, they were on one floor. And if you know your sales department doesn't know what they're doing and you know that you're going to be writing a good review on a game – does it behoove you as someone in editorial who's already written your piece to go to sales and say, I'm writing this really nice review about this game. You may want to reach out for them for some ad revenue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line between, you know, is that a little some shady business there? But as you can tell from talking with Nick, like, they really have no – you're right. It's a total disconnect there. And I think for any big company like that, that's always going to be the case. Maybe, like, a smaller site could leverage that and still keep their integrity. But I don't think you're going to see that on any big sites. But who?
Well, that's why I put in the qualifier of the writing before.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I think still, like, they like to keep that stuff separate. Hey, maybe that's not what happens at GameStop. I mean, GameSpot or IGN. Maybe they have that connection. I don't know.
I was going to say, because, I mean, right now it seems as though that was the main reason. Well, not the main reason, but one of the reasons for the failure and collapse of 1UP.com is the disconnect between sales and editorial. And I think that it's something that people just aren't talking about, and I think it's very important.
All right. Well, we just talked about
it. Well, and I feel so much better now.
Good. Now you can sleep.
Now I can sleep at night.
Also on last week's show, I mentioned...
And it gives people something angry to comment about, too.
What's that?
I said it gives people something angry to comment about.
Oh, right. Everyone enjoys that.
Yeah, everyone likes that.
Last week, I also mentioned how I left $900 in an ATM machine and then walked away, even though I knew people were going to think that I was an idiot and write bad things about me. But, you know, I said it anyway because I say everything, basically. I tell you everything. Super Midget says, wow, you lost Shaq Fooey $900. Are you kidding me? Maybe I'm being too harsh, idiot. Yeah, I knew that was coming. I actually got some emails from, I got an email from, I think his name was Andy, who works at a bank in like the ATM division. And he's like, he tells me I should call the bank. And, you know, that you have to file not a complaint, but you have to let them know so that they can investigate it. So I did that immediately after reading his email. And Citibank was very nice. They said they were going to look into it and they're going to let me know in a couple of days. I might get the money back.
Or they might point and laugh at you.
They were very, no, she was very, compassionate, and she said that she had done it too. I doubt she left $900 in there, but she was very nice about the whole thing. Also, again, people are talking about the length of the CADcast.
All I see is length.
Right.
Discussion of length. It's a good size.
Because every once in a while, you know, we'll mention that we need to wrap things up. A. Knowles Jr. says, I don't know why you'd want to keep the podcast down in length. You guys should talk for as long as you want. I think the fans would want as much as you're willing to give. If you think it's too long, release two podcasts, part one and part two. And Lick says, Cheapy, do you really need to worry about the length of the show? People can pause the shows, you know. I don't mind if you went on for 4 hours. It's not a live show anyway. What are you guys worried about? Well, for one, Wombat needs to go to sleep at some point.
Although, yeah, I would pass out about probably sometime around 2.5 hours, I would say I'd probably pass out.
Yeah, we need to get on with our days, you know. This, you know, this almost takes me the whole day as it is. So, you know, I don't mind going to, I think, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes is sort of the sweet spot. And I just like to keep it around there. Yes, of course, we could do 3 hours if we wanted to, but I don't know. It's just, it gets to be ridiculous. And we leave you wanting a little bit more for next week. Right,
always leave them wanting more.
Exactly. Let's get on to some CAG news-ish. I'm pleased to announce the 6th annual Cheapy Awards. The process has started. The nomination process is now in full effect. We have a special forum dedicated to it on the CAG forums. And we have, I think, 15 different categories where you can nominate stuff. Nominate, you know, your favorite retailers, your favorite game trading sites and best customer service, all kinds of crazy stuff, Wombat.
Also, don't you have the category this year, favorite CAG named after a marsupial?
We don't have that.
Oh.
So the way it works is basically you post your nominations and I will go through the
Kangaroo Gamer is going to be very upset.
I'm going to choose from your nominees some finalists and then we'll have
Awesome
polls.
Opossum is going to be pissed too.
Yes, he will be. And then you will vote in the using our polling system, and then I'll, you know, announce the winners. It depends on your votes. And once the polls go live, you know, just by voting, you'll be able to win $500 Amazon gift certificate.
Have you been nominated for anything yet?
You know, I think I showed this to you. That's why you know. That's why
me? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I was nominated for CAG Villain. I was nominated, like, a lot, like, several times. Now, some were joke nominations. They were saying, oh, because sometimes you don't post the CADcast. Sometimes you guys don't do a CADcast, you know, which is, you know, haha, very funny, whatever. But some people were very serious. Let me see if I can find, I'm going to try to find this guy's nomination. First of all, the guy's name was Vince McMahon, okay? So,
you know, he's a jobber.
Yeah, right. So he nominated me, and let me read you his nomination pitch here. Cheapy D, for the direction that he's taken CAG over the past 2 years or so, a once great site gone commercial and now the slave of profit and advertising dollars. I guess we can't really blame him as it adds up to more coin in his pocket, but the site was once special when not as many people knew about it and we were getting really great deals. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't keep the site a secret for you. I should have changed the name to xj7143.com, then nobody would ever find it.
Oh, I would have.
Now we are all now
that's
all
the
we get
of my gym locker.
Now all we get is Amazon lace front page littered with podcast after podcast that have very little to do with game deals, whoring out something else we have no use for. The days of the $5 game are dead. Then again, it's the man's site, so the direction he takes. It is in his whole choice. Now, I read something like this, and I try not to get upset. because after running the site for over 5 years, you know, people have a lot of nasty things to say about me, and I've learned to not even respond to it with posts, but I'm going to respond to this via voice, Wombat. At least there's no written record of it.
Should I sit back and relax?
Sit back and dig in, Wombat. So, first of all, I don't know if you realize this, Vince, but I do not control the deals that the retailers offer. So, to imply that it's my fault that the $5 game deals don't exist anymore, it's pretty silly. I mean, what do you think? I called up EB Games and said, hey, you know, I don't like those $5 deals. You know, why don't you not have any deals? I think that would be better. And the reason why you see so many Amazon deals on the front page is because Amazon, you know, is likely to win the best online game retailer again for the third year in a row. I think third. Fourth? Could it be fourth even? You know, they're the best retailer. They're the retailer that more kegs buy from than anyone else. That's why they're on the front page so much. I mean, it ain't rocket science here, folks. I don't really know what point you're trying to make. And if you don't like it, you know, feel free to not visit the site. It's really fine with me. I'll survive.
My favorite part about the post was he's complaining the direction of the site in the last 2 years. When did he register?
He says September 2008. I mean, he could have been he's obviously like a lurker at some point.
But you can't view the deal forums unless you register.
Right. Well, he couldn't. Well, now actually I set it up so you can view 5 pages in the deal forums before you have to register.
Ooh, 5 pages.
But, you know, that's forever, you know.
When I joined, I had to register.
Right. Well, you still have to register because once you hit that 5 pages, you have to register.
But I lurked. I was also a lurker, I would say, for a good 5 months before I actually signed up.
Also, to address the issue of, you know, there's too many podcasts on the front page, let me break it down for you. See, there's this button right on the top of the front page. It says deals only. If you click that button, you'll only see deals on the front page. I know it's you know, it's a very complicated process, and I should have named it something.
Wait. What happens if I push the deals only button?
You see no deals.
Wait, but what if I only want to see deals?
You can't do that.
Could you make a button that says only deals on it?
Maybe we'll make two buttons, one that says deals only and one that says only deals.
That, I think, would end the confusion amongst the user base.
Right. And now I got people on GameTZ.com.
That thread. That thread's awesome.
I got people on that site now who I guess they're sort of scared of CAG because we're implementing this great trading system starting very soon. February 1st, the beta rolls out. And I think that maybe they're scared of that. I don't know. But I got people on that site now. They're taking pictures of me, and my head is off in the pictures.
Isn't there one with your head in a noose also?
There's me as Hitler. There's me with my head being blown off or coming off or something. I don't know. And look, it takes a lot of willpower to not, go on to, their website and be like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. If somebody was on my site and they started posting pictures of the guy who owns GameTZ with his head off, you know, I would message them and I'd say, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't post stuff like that. It makes us look stupid. But whatever. I don't know. That's the airing of the grievances, Wombat.
You feel better now?
I feel a little bit better, actually. I do
bit of weight off your chest?
I do, yeah. I mean, I don't respond via post, so this is a good forum, I think, for me to...
Trust me, I know how hard it is, because, you know, when all the one-up UGO stuff was going down, there were a lot of things I wanted to say that I didn't say. So...
Like what?
Well, you know, I think it's a lot of, that Mega 64 video, which is completely factually inaccurate.
It's funny.
Even though it is funny. But UGO didn't cancel EGM.
Right, of course.
They just didn't buy it.
Right.
It's still a Ziff Davis property that Ziff Davis canceled the magazine.
They should have went with the one. It works, the metaphor works fine for oneup.com, but not for EGM.
Basically, it works, yeah. It does work all right for oneup as opposed to EGM. In the sense but not really there either, because I mean, technically UGO didn't let go of anybody. 1UP let go of everybody. They were let go by Ziff.
Right.
And because 1UP, you know, couldn't take... Because UGO just didn't have the resources to take on that many people.
Right.
So... I don't know.
I don't know.
I just think the Yu-Gi-Oh! Treatment has been incredibly unfair. And if you don't believe me,
go to the Yu-Gi-Oh! Vlog.
Go to the games vlog on Yu-Gi-Oh! And read the comments that people are leaving for poor little Rusty.
I know. I feel bad. I have the Yu-Gi-Oh! Blog in my like bookmark header thing on my browser, just because from when you were on there. And every once in a while, I click over. And now you're right. That's why I click over. I click over to see what people are ripping on poor Rusty. And Rusty's such a nice guy. And, you know, of course, he's just, you know, he's a young guy and he's just trying to make a living. He has nothing to do with any of the management decisions on the site. And anything that he posts now, it's like, Yu-Gi-Oh sucks. This article sucks. You suck. Poor guy.
He posted this article, and one of the comments, and I'm not making it up, I'd pull it up and read it, but, you know, I don't want to screw up my computer. Basically, someone said, why don't you do us all a favor, take a gun and shoot yourself in the mouth?
Right. It's wonderful.
I'm like, at what point does that become, like, acceptable commenting behavior?
Right. And he probably spent, a lot of time, like, working on this little article. And, you know, he posts it. And he's like, all right, I wonder what people think of it. He's got somebody telling him to kill himself.
It's so bad. I feel so bad for him. And, yeah, like you said, he's such a nice guy. And he has nothing to do with any of this. And it took a lot to not say more. Because, you know, people don't realize that there are good, nice people who work for Yu-Gi-Oh!.com that aren't the devil.
Right. I mean, it's just, there's people. They're just game writers, like the people who were working at 1UP.
And I think that if you gave them a chance, and I think, you know, with the new revelations that Milky's coming back to write for 1UP.com, and that 1UP Yours...
He's just going
to
be a writer?
Yeah, he's an editor.
Wasn't he running this? He was running the site, running the
He was running
magazine.
EGM. Mm-hmm. And what's it? They're going to have another 1UP podcast starting soon. It won't be called 1UP Yours anymore, but it's still going to be there.
It's going to be called 1UP Yours 2.
Something like that. Like, I heard 1UP Hours might be the name of it.
1UP Gay.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not supposed to make gay jokes. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't
I
do
take
that.
Take that back.
Yeah, unless it was actually hosted by a group of gay men.
That's just lazy. When you make jokes like that, it's just lazy.
That's true. See, that's your problem, not mine.
I am lazy.
But anyway, that's enough about that. I think we both aired our grievances. I feel a lot better.
Right, right. And plus, you know, we have a lot of great stuff. I was talking about, you know, being nominated for CAGville, and we have a lot of great stuff coming to the new CAG, like I said, starting in February 1st. Somebody wrote in a question. Sack Squash wrote in a question about the CAG early beta. He says, I'm a little curious on how the beta will be handled involving people who have donated to the Child's Play charity. He's worried that because his PayPal email address doesn't match his CAG email address, if there's going to be a problem. Basically, what's going to happen is you're going to receive an email at your PayPal email address. And that's going to have a link, and that link will get you into the early beta. That's all. So anyone who contributed to the, you know, participated in the CAG Child's Play fundraiser will be in February 1st. That's all. Also, Wombat, I wanted to tease everybody a little bit with the new CAG price tracker. And John should have a blog post up very soon about this. But do you remember we used to have something called the CAG-O-Matic price tracker?
Yeah, I'm surprised you're going to take the O-Matic off because I think it's funny.
I don't know. We're still open for suggestions on the name.
How about Cagatron 3000 price tracker?
No, it gets a little silly, and then it doesn't fit in the header. You know, we need to have it in the we need to have it in the navigation.
I got it.
So, you know, price tracker. Everybody knows what a price tracker is. Cagomatic people won't know really what that is. And, you know, if you have CAG in the front of everything in your navigation, it gets a little weird looking.
If it says only deals?
No deal. Right. Only deals. How about only deals-o-matic?
Whoa. That's good.
That's gold right there. So anyway, if you remember
marketing.
It's all marketing. It's all ball bearings these days. If you remember the old
Plastics.
CAG-O-Matic, what it did was it told you the price drops. Every night it would run this thing and it would tell you the price drop. And it never really worked that well. And at the end, all it was doing was just searching Amazon. But this is going to be like the old CAG-O-Matic times a million. That's how good it's going to be.
So it's kind of like the difference between Howard Stern's relevance in Jay Leno's relevance.
No, it's nothing like that, Wombat. It's like the difference between your relevance and Howard Stern's relevance.
Oh, I didn't realize I was that relevant.
You were not. That's the point.
I don't get it.
Anyway, so there's a lot of cool shit that's coming with it, besides just like telling you what stores are going to have the lowest prices on everything. It'll basically, you know, you can create, you'll have your CAG collection system. You know, we have a collection system, but we also have a wish list system. So games that are on your wish list, you can, you know, view all the price changes in the wish list viewing mode. So it's just going to show you games that you've told the system that you're interested in. It's also going to tell you which games sort of stand out by having the biggest price drops, you know, which CAGs have deemed, you know, a worthwhile buy. It's pretty amazing, all the shit that's going to happen. It's, you know, it even has something where if there's a game that dropped in price and that your friends have it and that it supports online play, it'll highlight those for you if you want. That's like the level of detail that this thing can go into for you. So it's pretty much awesome. That's my point, Wombat.
Oh, okay. You done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, awesome. What's next?
So look for the post on the front page of CAG. Probably by the time you hear this, you should see that with screenshots and all kinds of good shit. Let's move on to some game shopping news, Wombat. Now, I think this went down after we recorded the show last week, that Circuit City...
Yes, it did. Yeah, we didn't talk about this.
Yeah, Circuit City is gone. They are done.
Kaput.
Kaput, out of business, liquidating everything. From what I can read on CAG, that the deals haven't really been there yet.
Well, when they liquidated the Circuit City by my house, mm-hmm. I was really disappointed at the prices. The prices actually weren't as low, and the employees there who used to have sort of a say on prices
right.
didn't have that authority anymore.
Because like, the liquidators have all the authority now.
Exactly, because I looked at something and I held it up and I asked the guy, and I go, how much is this? And the guy goes, I think it's $40. I'm like, really? It was this really nice Harry Potter DVD box set with like all the collectibles in it.
Right.
I'm like, ooh, I'd get this for $40. And the guy goes back and goes, oh, no, it's still 90. I'm like, ah, for $40, I would have bought it. And he goes, if we weren't being liquidated, we would have sold it to you for $40 if you asked. I'm like, right. You suck.
Yeah, it seems like it's just not even worth going down there because what happens is the people who don't know any better, they just assume everything is cheap. So there's like long lines there, but there's really nothing, there's no great deals going on.
Yeah,
so the CAGs have been reporting back. We have a big thread about it, but from what I can see, it's just, you know, it's still sort of a waste of time.
Who got the last one now, suckers?
That's right. That's what happened, Wombat, with bad customer service.
Exactly.
And silly subpoenas. So I guess I don't have to worry about that subpoena anymore.
I don't know. Maybe.
Looks like I wasted that money on that lawyer. I should have just done nothing. Just waited.
Just waited it out. Eventually, there'd be no one left.
Actually, it was totally worth it just for the publicity. Just, you know, every blog wrote about it. And, you know, whatever. The legal fees were maybe, I don't even remember. It was like $2,000 to $3,000. I mean, you can't buy any advertising for $2,000 to $3,000. You know, that'll get you nothing. So it was definitely worth it from that angle. Best of the Sunday ad video game deals. Sort of a slow week this week. Far Cry 2 at Best Buy for $30 for 360 and PS3. Same with Pure. And also at Best Buy, they have Prince of Persia for $40 for PS3 and 360. I don't know. That's pretty much it. Week, as they say.
Yeah.
Have you noticed all the cheap Xbox Live cards that have been popping up?
Yeah, Xbox Live memberships going for cheap.
Yeah, basically Best Buy, Walmart, and Amazon all at one point in time had the 13-month Xbox Live Gold cards for $30. I think they're sort of gone now, but I don't know. So that's not like a coincidence. You know?
So do you think there's something shady going on that we don't know about yet? Like maybe live service will be free in the future or something
I don't think it's going to be free because they make too much money off it. I mean, they got to make at least like $250 million. I tried to do the math on it and figure out. They've never released the numbers on how many people actually are Xbox Live Gold subscribers. They've only released, you know, people have signed up for Xbox Live, so that includes...
Well, it would be more than a quarter of $1 million.
No, billion, I said.
Oh, okay. Like, that makes more sense, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's what I came up with, and I have no idea how accurate it is. I doubt that they were going to give it away for free, but what I was talking about this with somebody, and I don't know if he wants me to tell you his name, so I won't. And it makes perfect sense, and this is sort of what it does make perfect sense. It makes sense that Microsoft would want to get people signed up for Xbox 360 now. And it makes sense, the best way to do this is to offer incentives to retailers to sell cards. Because there's a rumored PS3 price drop coming in the springtime. And if you get people vested in the Xbox Live service now, they'll probably be more likely to buy those multi-platform games on Xbox 360 when it comes time to make the decision if they own both consoles. So it's sort of like a little preemptive strike against the PS3 price drop. Don't you think that makes sense? Seems very logical to me.
It does.
Yeah, so I think it's a good strategy. I mean, I bought two of those cards myself, so I'll be signed up for quite some time.
Wow.
So let us do a little bit of new releases. I think it's a pretty slow week this week. Skate 2 is coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360. I'm very interested in the game, but everything that I've read about it leads me to believe that the game is difficult.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I flipped to it. I got my Game Informer in the mail today. It's the game of the month in Game Informer.
Yeah, well, there's not much this month.
No, it really isn't. So I guess it wins by default.
Yeah, it seems cool, but I'm not looking for some frustration, and I haven't really exhausted Skate 1. I still have Skate 1, and I liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun. Maybe if I can pick it up cheap, but I don't know. I still got a lot of other games I need to play. Fallout 3, Far Cry 2. I don't know. So I'm not in a rush to get Skate 2, but, you know.
I haven't enjoyed a skateboarding game ever, so I don't know if this will be the one to do it for me.
It's kind of cool. You may want to... I mean, what do you got in your Gamefly queue right now?
Oh, I'll put it in my Gamefly queue.
Yeah, you should check it out. What do you have, actually? Now I'm curious.
I have Soul Calibur 4.
Okay.
And Force Unleashed.
Oh, have you tried any of those?
I played a little of Soul Calibur 4.
Right.
Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fighting game. I got bored relatively quickly, to be honest.
Right.
And I haven't played Force Unleashed yet.
I know Shipwreck just finished it. I liked reading his Twitter updates about it. He writes, Star Wars Force Unleashed keeps freezing my Xbox 360 with its Jedi mind tricks.
Oh, that was like a week ago, two weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a week ago. I finished the game. I liked it. I liked Force Unleashed enough to finish it. I think I had it freeze on me once. I thought it was worth playing through.
I'll give it a shot. Like I said, I have it sitting up there. I just have to put it in and play it.
Yeah. By the way,
finishing Fallout 3.
Right. Well, let's save that for the Xbox 360 session. Yeah. And I'll give Shipwreck's Twitter account a plug here. It's twitter.com/Shipwreck. I'm /GPD and Wombat is /Wombat5277.
There already was a Wombat.
Yeah, well, pretty common name, I guess.
I guess so.
So they released the NPD numbers for December of 2008. And Wombat, the whole week, keeps telling me, oh, I really want to talk about the NPD numbers. I really want to talk about the NPD numbers.
Well, the NPD numbers, they fascinate me. They don't fascinate you at all?
Nothing. I'm interested in them. Why do they fascinate you?
I think you could really learn everything you need to know about the video game industry from the NPD numbers. And it's not so much the sales, which I know sounds silly. But what's more important than the sales are the trends. And, it's not what people are buying. It's why they're buying it and when they're buying it.
Okay.
And what we can learn, there are the things that we definitely can learn. The same Wii trends have carried over and over and over and over again, which I guess makes my point from last month 100% true. I don't think it's a theory anymore. When people go out and buy the Wii, which 2.15 million people did, a majority of those people are buying Wii Play with the remote with it, which I think shows actually that the consumer of the Wii may be more educated than we might think.
Right.
That they're smart enough to say, hey, I can get it alone or I can get it with this game. Why don't I just get it with this game? And now I have two games for $300 with my console and my actual remote, which is a really good deal.
And they're buying the good games, too. They're buying the games, like sort of the best reviewed games for the system, you know, the first party games.
And I think that that's something that I think a lot of media and a lot of people don't realize it. And I'm going to say it. I think the Wii consumer is a more educated consumer than we might think. The best-selling games for the Wii are Wii Play, Wii Fit, which may or may not be a great game, but it certainly fits a niche and it's unusual and it's gotten a lot of marketing. It also shows how successful the Wii marketing is. Mario Kart Wii, which, again, it's not a bad game. No one's going to say, oh, it's terrible. And Guitar Hero. I mean, I think that, like I said, I think the Wii consumer may be more educated than they're being given credit for. Because they're not just seeing the games. I think they're also seeing a value in what they're buying.
Sure, yeah.
So, and I think, like I said, that's what's important to take away from the Wii. But what's also funny, and I was talking about this with CJ from Player One last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were trying to say, what's the Wii like? Is there anything you can compare the Wii to in video game history?
Yeah.
What would you compare it to?
I would compare it to like those online casual games that 55-year-old women
I'm talking like from a sales end. Has there ever been a console that's dominated this much? And for
PS2.
The same reasons. And why it's dominating. See, I think it's more akin to the Atari 2600.
All right. Why don't you tell us why?
Because the Atari 2600 came bundled with the best games. And once they had the console, there was so much other crap out for it that was bad, but didn't sell.
Right.
And it it was really the only game in town when it came out, but it was a complete domination. And I think that Nintendo really needs to pay close attention to the life cycle of the Atari and not fall into the same traps and implode like Atari did.
But isn't the Wii sort of the only game in town for people who, you know, are interested in having some sort of video game system in the house, but are not, you know, the type of people that would like listen to this show, for example? Like the people who, you know, like to play those online casual games. Maybe they have a kid and the kid's into video games and they want to be able to play something with their kid. You know, your parents could play Atari games. It's just a stick and one button. It's pretty...
Exactly. And the Atari was a very popular system with multi-generational groups.
Yeah, because you could, you know, those games aren't rocket science. It's like, you know, it's a tank and you push the button and you shoot the other tank.
And that came with the system. It didn't come with combat. It came with combat and tennis.
I'm sure they had a lot of different bundles throughout different points.
The paddle is almost the equivalent of Wii Fit, and except the Atari cost more than the Wii did.
Right.
But, I mean, I think there are a lot of similarities in the... And the ability to transgenerational people,
yeah,
and what it came bundled with, and how people saw value in it, and you know the value at the time that was seen on the Atari was I don't have to spend quarters now,
right?
Which almost sounds foreign to in today's market, but that was a big selling point of the Atari. Is you don't have to go to the arcade and put in quarters. You can play all the Pac-Man you want at home.
Yeah, and it looked just like the arcade.
Well, not quite, but...
I'm being sarcastic.
I know. But that was, you know, at the time, that was a big deal. And it just shows, you know, but Atari also killed itself with really terrible third-party... with really not having any kind of grip at all on the third-party support like it should have.
Right. But, as long as there's enough, you know, good quality, you know, first-party titles for the Wii, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, you know, it's only a handful of games that are driving all the Wii software sales. And there's an article on Gamasutra that says basically it's, let me find this, the numbers here. It says the top 10 SKUs are accounting for 44% of all the Wii sales. Okay? So there's 432 games out for the Wii. Okay? And the top 10 games are accounting for 44% of the sales.
It shows, you know, what's really impressive is that Nintendo was, you know, people say, where's the new Mario and where's the new Link? What Nintendo created was this new franchise called Wii. And Wii isn't just a console. Wii is also a game title. There's Wii Play and Wii Sports and Wii Fit and Wii Music.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked
about that last week.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly impressive, and it's something that you see from these NPD numbers. That's something you take away.
So, yeah, we didn't talk about the hardware side of it, you know, continued to dominate.
They did, and of course, they continued to dominate with 2.15 million Wii sales in December. The DS sold 3 million in December,
which is incredible.
I can't believe there are that many people still buying the DS.
That's amazing.
I just assumed everyone in the world had one at this point.
Now you know why the DSi is not out in America yet. Why would you put out a new system when people are still buying the old one?
Because maybe you'll sell 5 million as opposed to 3 million.
Oh, no, they'll put it out. They're just going to wait.
Yeah. But no, it's incredibly impressive. And, you know, the 360 sold 1.4 million. And the PS3 sold 726,000.
So the 2-to-1 360 versus the PS3, and 2-to-1 DS versus the 360.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing.
Now, I mean, there's also other things. You know, is what's the strategy for the PlayStation 3 right now? Are they doing the wrong thing? Should they be doing something better? How can they fix them? How can they fix themselves if they need to? Maybe it's our perception, not their perception, that's the problem. Maybe they're really not selling as they may not be selling as many consoles as their competition, but are they still selling a lot of consoles?
Pachter seems to think that as soon as they drop the price to $300, that they're right back in the game.
Well, the real question is selling 3.5 million consoles in 2008 bad?
Is that how many they sold?
That's how many they sold, yeah.
What was where do you see it? What were the year-to-date numbers for the 360?
The year-to-date numbers on the 360 was 4.8 million. So the difference, I mean, all in all, isn't that ginormous. It's a 1.3 million difference. If you look at the Wii sold over 10 million. That's a lot. The thing that what we're looking at now is it that the Wii sales and the DS sales are just so high that it makes the PS3 numbers look really bad in comparison?
Right.
And should really the only people that the PS3 should be competing against should really be itself and making sure it improves its own numbers year after year and not be concerned with how their competition is doing. And their own focus on their competition may be doing more harm to them than good.
Apparently,
economic advice for Sony is don't worry about how the other people are doing. You dropped, 9% in December sales from last year. That's a problem. You went up 38% from sales overall last year, which is good. But, there's still something that you,
there's work to be done.
Obviously still something that you need to work on because sales should be up over a holiday ago.
Well,
and why did they sell? They sold their best months of last year were, April and June.
Metal Gear Solid.
And Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah. Need games. Gotta have games.
So I was going to say, so what does that tell you about PS3 sales?
Gotta have games. Gotta be cheap. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know if it, and again, I mean, yes, being cheaper probably would help, but the PS3 lifetime sales are 6,790,900. The 360 sales are more than double that, at 13,958,400. Now, what we don't know about that 360 number is how many of those are multiple owners.
Right.
Because I'm on my, third, 360?
No, but you didn't buy four of them.
No, but those are SKUs that are out there. I mean, how do they register? How do they register sales?
Those are sales to retailers, I think.
Is it just shipped? Is that how we're...
Yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
so
let's move on to Sony discussions, since we're talking about Sony anyway.
Okay, we'll talk about Sony.
I wanted to read you this quote from Kaz Hirai, who runs Sony Computer Entertainment. This is to official Xbox official PlayStation Magazine. He's talking about the life cycle for the consoles. It's difficult to talk about Nintendo because we don't look at their console as being competitors. They're a different world, and we operate in our world. That's kind of the way I look at things. Now, I used to think that too, Wombat, but I've sort of come full circle now. They are absolutely are in the same world. They're both machines that you hook up to your television and you play games on them. I'd say that pretty much puts you in the same world as the weight. And chances are, there are a lot of people out there who are going to buy the Wii, and they're not going to buy the PlayStation 3. And there's a possibility that they would have bought a PlayStation 3 if the PlayStation 3 had done things a little bit differently, whether it's price, whether it's the type of games that are on the system, whether it was the marketing of the system.
I'm gonna put all the blame solely on marketing. I think the biggest fault with the PlayStation 3 is it may have the worst marketing in the history of Sony marketing in general lately. It has been awful. Even the reason to buy a Sony HD TV, I don't know, because you don't watch football, so you wouldn't know. But the commercial is, it's the James Brown, the host of the NFL on CBS, comes out and goes, Sony football, NFL football games are filmed on Sony HD cameras. Don't you think you should watch the game on a Sony television then?
It doesn't say that.
Yes, he does. And that's the whole commercial. And I'm like, that makes no sense at all. So because the cameras are Sony, if you watch it on a TV that isn't a Sony, the picture doesn't look just as good.
That's pretty weird.
It is. It's terrible. Their whole marketing for the entire company is just awful. They don't know how to sell anything. And that's the problem with Sony. And it's not because they don't have a quality product. Of course they have an incredibly high quality product. They probably have the highest quality console on the market of the three. If we're talking about, you know, if there was one console that I think would be able to survive a blizzard, it would probably be the PS3.
Right.
But
it's definitely a cop-out. You agree, though, right? It's definitely a cop-out to say that for either Microsoft or Sony to say they're not competing with the Wii.
Well, I think that, like I said, what I said before still holds true. I think the smart move for Sony at this point is not necessarily to say that they don't care or to just to not bring up the competition. The only right. people that Sony needs to be competing with right now is itself. Its main goal should be to outsell itself every month.
They're their own worst enemy, really.
Exactly. And if they can't outsell themselves, that's the issue. It has nothing to do with how many 360s are sold. And people shouldn't be going around saying, well, the 360 is better because it sold more PS3s. That's not the issue. The issue is, are people still buying PS3s and are sales slowing down of the PlayStation 3? Are sales leveling off? Are there still enough sales of the PS3 to warrant there still being a PlayStation 3? And that's what's most important. I don't know what that number is, but you know, and it's, people may not want to believe this, but if the sales of the PS3 get to a point where fewer and fewer and fewer people are buying it each month, eventually no one's going to support it, not even Sony itself. So with their main goal is to say, well, we need to sell at least 400,000 PS3s a month to validate having a PlayStation 3.
They've lost so much money on it already.
Well, that's really what it comes down to.
Over $3 billion or something like that.
The sales of the 360 early in 2008 were not very good.
No.
They were really crappy sales, the PS3. And people don't realize that because the sales jumped up so much after the price drop. A lot of comments, because people saw just the percentage of increase in 2008 in sales. And they saw that the PS3 increased 38.58% in sales, which is great, which is why they will continue to make PS3s, like I just said before. That's what they need to do. They need to make sure that there's still a steady increase in sales to warrant there being a PlayStation 3. That's their main concern.
Right.
The 360 only jumped up 4.08% in sales. But they had a huge second half of the year after the price drop, and those numbers are just going up. So they've extended the life of the console with the price drop. The price drop worked, is really what we learned from that, which is great.
Of course it does. It's huge.
They had their price drop at the right time. If they did not have their price drop, the numbers of 360 sales would probably have been in the tubes over the holiday season.
Yep. Let me finish reading this quote from Kaz, because it gets sort of interesting.
Okay.
So he says that they don't compete with the Wii, which is bullshit. And then he says, and with the Xbox, again, I can't come up with one word to fit. This is such a weird statement. You need a word that describes something that lacks longevity. Last time I checked, they've never had a console that's been on the market for more than 4 or 5 years, and we've committed to a 10-year life cycle. So you do the math. And unless things go really bad, there's no way that at the end of the life cycle, our competition is going to have a higher install base. How many consoles has Microsoft put out before?
That would be one, sir.
Right. They've never had a console. Okay, you know, that's like some really interesting language to use there.
Yeah, it's a very loaded statement to say that the combined sales of the Xbox and the Xbox 360 will never be higher than the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3. Is that what he's saying?
I think he's saying there's. I think he may be just talking about the Xbox 360 on that last part. I don't know. I mean, do you want the place? Do you want there to be no other console to come out? You know, for 10 years with the PlayStation 3.
I think that there's room for that. I don't think it's a big deal if nothing else comes out.
You want PlayStation? You want PlayStation 4 to come out in 2016?
I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
What about if the new Xbox? I mean, if the new Xbox comes out, okay, in 2010 or 2011, would you feel gypped somehow? Like if the, you know, if it, assuming that the technology improvement is significant.
Maybe 2012.
I don't know. It seems to me that in 6 years, 5 or 6 years, you can make significant improvements to the, I mean, especially with the Xbox, you can make significant, there's lots of room for improvement for the hardware.
Well, you know, you're talking about purely how the hardware is made, though. You're not talking about a change in how the picture is going to look.
Sure I am. I mean, look at the process of like graphics cards for computers. There's it's never ending, the improvements.
Well, the next question is this, though. Do you want there to be some sort of new format? Should the PlayStation 7, the Xbox 720 or whatever we want to call it, should that be a Blu-ray disc-based game system where games might possibly go up another $10? Is that what you want?
I don't think anyone, I don't know. I don't think we need Blu-ray, really.
That's just it. Do we still want to maintain the DVD-based?
Disc-based, let's say.
Disc-based game.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to, because that would be tough for my business if they stop selling games like that.
Yeah, if everything went digital, that would kill you.
That would be no good for me.
No, that would be no good for you. I don't want digital either, but the thing is, if you went digital, then you have to come up with, I think the biggest deterrent of the all digital format at this point for the console makers is the idea of what you want. Purely what you would want would be some form of, you know, although it would be impossible, unlimited storage.
Yeah, well, hard drives only get cheaper as time goes on, so.
That's a great thought, but what size hard drive do you think is required to go with an all digital format?
A terabyte.
I mean, think about it. I'm almost full up on my 120 gig installing all my games to my damn hard drive.
Yeah, but you don't need to keep them all installed.
But no, because I have them on the disk.
Right. But if it was the full, right. I understand. All right, let's move on.
Without a disk, it's, you know, I don't want to erase things and then have to reinstall it again if I feel like playing it at some point.
Right. It's true. This is, I thought, was interesting.
So how many people do you think have already started their comments talking about how everything I said is bullshit, by the way?
They're posting as they're listening, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Like with steam shooting out of their ears.
Right. Woo, woo. I wanted to mention this because I was a big fan of the Amplitude series, which is a game, music games made by Harmonix. It was on the PS2. Harmonix, Frequency and Amplitude. Harmonix says that they want to make a new version for the PS3, and that's something I'd really like to see. Sony owns the IP for that. That's why they would have to do it on the PS3. I would love to see that. I love the online play for that game. It was a lot of fun, even though it's just pushing buttons along to the beat. I don't know. I love that game. That was one of my favorite online games and favorite PS2 games, Frequency and Amplitude. So, yeah, please, Harmonix, make another one of those. Like, that would be a great PlayStation Network game. You could have song packs, you know, for download. Everybody loves downloadable content. So I think that's a no-brainer. Although Harmonix is a little busy right now, I guess, making the Beatles game.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be cool. Speaking of PlayStation Network games, they announced that Flower, which is a game coming to the PlayStation Network, they announced the release date, February 12th. It comes from That Game Company, which is the same company that made Flow.
Flow. I like Flow.
This is better than Flow. I played this at Tokyo Game Show. There's not, you know, like Flow, there's not much of a game in the game. You know, you move a flower petals around and, you know, you pick up more flower petals and make the grass turn green. But you can't die. There's no, like, time limit. There's no, you know, there's, you know, it's like Flow in that regard. But it looks real pretty. It looks a lot nicer than Flow does. And I don't know. It'd be good if you had some weed. Not going to lie about that.
Yeah. Yesterday, my cousin came over to the house because I was alone with the baby.
Uh-huh.
And he decided to be a good family member. And he came by and he brought me a pizza. And we sat on the couch and ate pizza and played Pain for a good portion of the afternoon.
And I thought you were going to say he brought weed.
No, we just played Pain.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, sorry.
Have you downloaded the new PlayStation 3 firmware update?
Is that out now? I thought it was coming out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, it's coming out version 2.60. It adds.
Oh, wait. People will be listening to this tomorrow. Well, right. Yes, I have downloaded it. It's fantastic.
It adds a photo gallery, smile sorting. What the hell is smile sorting? And more DivX support.
Hooray.
All right, let's move on to Microsoft. I've been using Netflix a lot again to watch. Now I've started a new TV series.
Oh, which one?
It's new to me. The Office, the American version.
Do you like it?
I think it's really funny, actually.
I like it sometimes, and sometimes I find it a little boring.
Boring?
Yeah.
It's only 22 minutes. How boring could it be?
I know, you'd think that. I mean, I love 30 Rock. I think it's awesome. But
yeah.
The Office, for some reason, I find to be a snooze fest.
Steve Carell is just very funny.
Steve Carell is very funny. And I think Jenna Fisher's kind of cute. But
I don't know. I liked it. I found myself laughing out loud when I watch it. And, you know, of course, I'm starved for entertainment here, for English entertainment. So maybe I like it a little more than the normal person. But I don't know. It's funny. But it's very, like,
have you watched any Burn Notice yet?
Which one?
Burn Notice.
Burn Notice, no.
You need to start watching that show.
What is that about again? Fire Department?
No, it's about a spy in Miami.
Oh. I wonder if it's on Netflix.
I don't know, but if it is, you need to catch up on that, my friend. New season starts on Friday, and it is a very big deal in this house.
Is it an hour show?
It is an hour-long show. It has Bruce Campbell in it.
That's a big commitment.
So it is a big commitment, but it's worth it. The show is ridiculously awesome.
It's
like the A-Team, but set today.
Do you mean people are shooting at each other at all times and no one ever gets hit?
Sometimes some people do get hit. There is people getting hit when guns fire. But there's also like, I'm trapped in this garage. It's a good thing this guy left behind a blowtorch, 3 nails, and a car battery. And next thing you know, he busts out with a tank. Yeah.
He busts out with a tank.
So, it's good.
I'll check it out. I still have to watch the new Battlestar. I haven't watched that episode yet. No, there's no Burn Notice on Netflix. Not on Instant Watch. I'm sure they have it if it's on DVD.
Yeah.
By the way, Netflix is a sponsor of the CADcast. And if you go to netflix.com/CADcast, you can get a free 2-week trial. And you can get us Pizzade, which is always good.
And then you can talk with me later on about that crap fest called Eagle Eye, starring Shia LaBeouf. That's what we rented over the weekend. That's what we got from Netflix.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, it's not that it's terrible. And you have to sit back and just accept the movie. Because it is so incredibly preposterous. Like, it's not remotely, it could happen in any way, form, or whatever.
Right.
And you watch it, and you just sit back, and you go, whatever, I'll go for this ride. Right. And when it's on, you're like, that was just ridiculous. But that's Eagle Eye. That's my review of Eagle Eye. Just ridiculous.
I see. I watched this British movie called Cashback. I don't know if anybody watched that, but there's a lot of titties in it. I never heard of it before, but it looked interesting when I was browsing through, and the cover looked interesting. It's about a guy who's a painter, and he basically becomes an insomniac because he breaks up with his girlfriend, and it's too upsetting to him. And he believes that he can stop time. And I don't, you know, and then I guess he's just hallucinating. But while he stops time, he takes women's clothes off and then paints them. It's a lot of titties. And it's a British movie, so they're British titties.
That's weird. Have you watched Ice Pirates yet?
No.
No.
Is that, I don't know if that's on there.
It's on there.
It's on the Instant Watch?
It is on the Instant Watch.
Oh, I can add that. I'm using my iPhone application right now, and I'm going to type that in. Ice Pirates. And I will add it. That's with Peter Weller or no?
No, that's, you're thinking of, oh God, what the hell's that movie?
Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, Buckaroo Banzai. I was thinking of another movie, but that's not Peter Weller.
RoboCop.
So never mind. No, not RoboCop. But anyway.
History Channel?
No, it's Robert Urich is the star of Ice Pirates.
All right, I've just added it.
Ice Pirates is awesome. And by awesome, I mean terrible, but it's awesome.
Right. Like Flash Gordon?
Yes, like Flash Gordon.
Cool. You finished Fallout 3?
I did finish Fallout 3.
I read your Twitter, and it said that you were very disappointed in the ending. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't want any spoilers.
It's not. I'm not going to spoil the ending. My complaint with the game has nothing to do with the story or spoiling it at any point.
Oh, okay.
My complaint about the game happens with what happens after you finish the story.
Oh.
It ends.
You can't go back and do anything.
No.
Until you buy the downloadable content.
I believe so, yeah.
I wonder if you buy the downloadable content, if it will let you play the other missions that you haven't done. I think I read that it won't.
See, then again, then it's still a complaint.
Yeah.
There's so many side missions, and I could tell by looking at the achievements, the ones I haven't done yet.
Right.
There's like a good six, you know, missions that, luckily I still had a save file that I could go back to from prior to doing that last mission.
Mm-hmm.
And just pick up from where I pseudo left off, but that's really annoying. Like, I think people really need to be more warned about that. You need to be prepared that once you start that final mission, there's no going back.
What about Oblivion? Did they let you continue?
Yeah, they sure did.
Hmm.
Because I did the main quest first because I thought it was pretty boring, actually, and then did all the guilds, which was the best part of the game.
Right, right. Oh, interesting. Well, I'm probably pretty far away from the end of Fallout 3. I got to get
just,
back
you know,
that.
It's just a little word of warning that once you get, because the story itself, the main storyline, I don't even think it didn't feel that long.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of just sneaks up on you like, oh, and I hope you're ready to blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah. See, that was me not spoiling it for you.
Right, that's good.
And I'm like, I guess so. And then there you go.
Let's see, what else? I
should say, it's a great game, and it's definitely worth playing through. It's awesome in every way.
Right. I look forward to picking that up again. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the Lost in the Dam downloadable content that's exclusive to the Xbox 360. Because I was reading Ron Workman's blog. I'll give him a little linkage here. It's ronworkman.tumblr.com. And he had a post up about Take-Two and how their stock is in the shitter, how company has lost almost all of its value, that they should have, taken that deal from EA, and that that they're really banking on this Lost in the Dam downloadable content to get some money, because there's, it's a big mess over there. And I guess we already know that it's going to cost $20, because it's actually, they're selling cards at GameStop where you can get like a code and download the game, and it's $20. So I guess that's how much it's going to cost. So I was curious if people are really interested in buying this downloadable content. So what I did was I put up a poll in our Xbox 360 forum. And I think it's been running for about a week right now. And the question was, how likely are you to purchase the Lost in the Dam downloadable content at $20? And we had over 200 people respond so far. And it's a total split, like right down the middle. I had five options. Definitely will buy, probably will buy, completely undecided, probably will not buy, and definitely will not buy. And everything is 20%, basically. So people are really on the fence about this. So I wonder, like, how much of a success this is going to be. I don't think I'm interested. If it's just going to be like a new story.
Neither one of us has actually finished the game.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm not buying any downloadable content for a mission-based game like this if I haven't finished the main story.
No, that would make sense.
And I don't think there's going to be any. I mean, we don't really know a lot about it, but I'd be very surprised if there's any really new gameplay, you know, except it's more all motorcycle-based. But there's motorcycles in the main game.
Well, it's a new story.
But it's a new story, but it doesn't change, like, the mission structures, you know.
You mean, like, drive here, shoot this guy, drive back, pick up other right. guy, drive this
can't,
guy.
You can't continue if you die. You know, you have to start over. I don't think any of that's going to change.
So, what gameplay element would you add to Grand Theft Auto?
I don't know. I would just make the whole thing more user-friendly. That's what's missing from it's been missing from Grand Theft Auto since the beginning, is that it's just very frustrating. It's not a game for gamers.
Do you think a game like Grand Theft Auto would benefit from the Golden Trail in Fable?
I never had a problem with finding where I was supposed to go. The problem was that it's a long trip often throughout missions to get to where you need to go. And
see,
then
sometimes
do the thing
I find myself spending more time looking at my GPS than actually looking at the game. And I feel like I'm missing the entire game because I'm always staring at my map in the corner.
Well, you know, it's, I don't know. It could might work.
Like, I mean, obviously, it would be something that people would want to be able to turn on and off, which I agree
sure.
with. Yeah, you
yeah,
know,
it's not a bad idea. I mean, look at like Forza 2, and even Gran Turismo has it now. They put the driving line.
Yeah,
you know, they need a driving line. That might be nice.
A driving line, a golden trail, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's what's
happy
missing.
Trail. I want to call
a happy
it.
Trail. I think that's what's missing from Grand Theft Auto. If I can make one change to that game, if anyone from Take Two or Rockstar is listening, put the golden trail from Fable 2 in Grand Theft Auto.
I like that suggestion.
I think it's a great idea. So do it already. Damn it, you bastards!
Hold on, wait. I'm typing up an angry response to the forum thread by a fake member.
Okay.
That's the worst idea ever. You suck, Wombat. I can't
Wombat's,
believe he's on the show. Wombat,
yeah, he's so annoying.
He's so annoying. All right, let's move on to Nintendo. Did
Never
you
heard
look
of it.
At, and we're talking about Grand Theft Auto. Have you seen, I guess the embargo is lifted today, on Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for the DS?
Yeah, everything that I mentioned on the games blog about a year ago, thanks to a tip from someone, I don't know if I should mention who it was at this point, but thanks to a tip from someone, everything I mentioned turned out to be right.
Right. How does it look to you? Something you're interested in?
Sure. It's not something I'm not interested in. How's that? Does that count? Is that a good answer?
It's got like this overhead 3D...
Isometric.
Camera? Isometric, that's what they call it. I don't know. Looks good. Like it could be good.
Yeah.
But if it's got the same annoying shit that Grand Theft Auto 4 has, that's, you know, hard to play and frustrating, I'll be skipping that. Especially
well,
on a portable game.
I was going to say, on portable, I think I would hope you'd be able to save more often. Mm-hmm. And I'm also hoping for a golden trail.
Good luck. Yeah, we talked about, I wanted to talk about how, you know, it's only a few of the Wii games are driving most of the sales. So we sort of talked about that already. Anything else you wanted to talk about Nintendo-wise before we move on?
I picked up Professor Layton in the Curious Village over the weekend.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I haven't been playing that much. Here's the deal. My wife really wanted to play it.
Yeah, it's a good game for her.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm of the rule of thumb that any game my wife mentions in interest, I will buy immediately because if she's playing a game, I get to play games.
Right,
see how
you get
works?
To play the big games.
Exactly. Well, she plays little games on the couch, but then everybody wins. I mean, what's
right,
wrong with that?
Of course.
The family that games together stays together.
Right. And she can't be yelling at you if she's playing Professor Layton.
Exactly. The funny part, though, is with her playing, this has only happened twice with two puzzles so far, but she'll get to a puzzle. And she's, you know, obviously a very smart woman. She's one of the top architects in Manhattan. But every now and again, she'll get stuck on a puzzle, and she'll be like, I have no idea. I can't figure this out. You take a look at it. And this has happened twice. She's handed it to me. I've gone, boop, boop, success. And I hand it back to her. Wow. And she gets really mad at She gets so mad at me.
Oh. You should, like, have a fact handy. You should, like, just read the game fact now.
Nah. That takes all the fun out of it.
I know.
And I like to impress my wife with my brain.
Right. I'm just saying, but you should study it, and then you would impress her even more. You get everything right.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't be fun. Also, she listens to the show.
Oh, okay. Don't do that. Terrible idea. All right, let
she
us do...
She listens to every episode. You didn't know that?
I didn't know.
She's never missed a CanCast.
Oh. My wife hasn't listened to one in probably 100 episodes.
That's funny.
Yeah, maybe more. But my parents listen.
That we'll see.
I don't want any of them to listen.
My parents have never listened to an entire episode.
Let's do some Kegs on News, Wombat. IO Interactive, the developer of Hitman, and also Kane and Lynch, have done a complete turnaround here. Instead of making these violent games, they've got a new game coming out called Mini Ninjas, which is a family game. What does that tell you about the gaming market?
It says a lot. Oh, that's so sad.
I know, it's a little sad. I actually enjoyed Kane and Lynch. I played through that. I thought it was
fun. I was
going
to say, and if the NBDs tell us another thing, there's room for good, mature games. There's room. People will buy them. People bought a lot of copies of Call of Duty. People bought a lot of copies of Grand Theft Auto 4 this year. People bought a lot of copies of Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead sold close to 1 million copies in 2008. That's a new IP with nothing behind it. And I mean, it was well marketed to the core audience, but I don't think it was well marketed outside of that, really.
Right.
I mean, the giant screen at CES was kind of cool, but that was, you know, in January. That wasn't part of the holiday shopping. And so there's room for that, and there's a market for it. There are people that want to play games for adults. Fallout 3 sold very well in 2008. Sure, it's only at number 14 of the top 20, but a game that's number 14 this year probably would have been in the top 10 easily 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm disappointed, actually, because I really enjoyed the last Hitman game. Did you play, Blood Money?
I played a little bit of it. I didn't love it as much as you did. For some reason, I just couldn't get into it, but...
I really liked it. I mean... Again, the older Hitman games used to be very difficult and frustrating. You really didn't know what you're supposed to do, and it was very unforgiving. And they changed it up with Blood Money, and actually Blood Money has one of my favorite endings to a game for a long time. I love the ending of that game.
You want to spoil it?
No, definitely not.
No.
It's great. No. But basically what they do is they let you do what you sort of want to do throughout the whole game, but doesn't quite fit in with the game, the whole point of the game. It's, you know, but they let you do it in the at the end of the game. Also, and some of these stories are left over from last show because we never got to them. This is sort of a slow news week this week, very slow actually. There's no Rock Band 3 coming this year. Harmonix CEO announced, which I thought was actually good news. I'd rather have them focus on getting great content for the game that's already out than getting us to buy a whole new game.
I don't even have Rock Band 2.
Well, it's been on sale a couple times, actually.
I know. So is Guitar Hero. World Tour was on sale today. I still haven't picked it up.
Yeah, but the cool thing about Rock Band 2 is that whole importing of the songs from the first game, and then you automatically have this huge library of songs to choose from, and it's only, I think it's $5 to import all the old songs. It's a pretty compelling package, actually. And if they can, you know, be pretty consistent with their downloadable content this year, and it looks like that's what they're shooting for by not releasing a new game... I don't know.
Well, they Hopefully. Are releasing the Beatles game this year.
That's true. I mean, I haven't bought any Rock Band downloadable content in a long time.
I haven't.
Nothing I've been interested in.
In forever. Yeah. Well, so
hopefully.
I know you're going to want the Steve Miller pack.
No. Actually, I mean, I kind of like those songs, but I was never really much of a Steve Miller fan. No. I don't know if I pay for them.
Did you see this? Did you read that article that I put on the outline from Forbes magazine, your friends over at Forbes?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I did. I had seen that before, actually. Yeah, they did an article about the Activision CEO, And they reference Rock Band as a shameless knockoff of Guitar Hero.
It'd be one thing if that was a quote from the CEO of Activision, like if that's how he wants to put it, by all means, you know, that's business.
It was just the writer. That was the writer's
conclusion. But that was the writer's conclusion, which shows a complete disregard for the medium in which he's writing about.
Right. I mean, he, of course, everyone knows that the company that developed, that created Guitar Hero created Rock Band. They just moved, you know, they were just acquired by EA.
So that was, I thought, a little disturbing. And yeah. It's not, that guy will never make it in consumer journalism.
Right. Well, he's not that type of journalist.
Yeah, he's a bad one.
Bum, 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 bum. Also in guitar-related news, Guitar Hero 3 became the first game to make $1 billion. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
A lot of people think that Guitar Hero 3 is better than Guitar Hero World Tour, actually. And now you actually find that all these older Guitar Hero games, like Guitar Hero 3 and Guitar Hero Aerosmith, the prices are coming way down because the stores can't wait to get them off their shelves because they take up so much space. So I've been posting, I mean, lately on KAG, I've been posting a lot of deals for these Guitar Hero games. So you can get nice deals on plastic guitars.
I'm waiting for Guitar Hero Aerosmith with a wireless guitar to drop to under 30.
Aerosmith?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
They had it 40. They had 40, I've seen.
That's what is that under 30?
It's not under 30.
Then I didn't buy it.
That's true. All right, shall we do some CAG bag?
I would love to do the CAG bag with you, sir.
Because people complain that you don't like the CAG bag.
I love the CAG. You know what? Doing the CAG bag gives me an erection.
Okay, let's go through them. I'd like to spend some quality time going through these questions.
I'm already at half-mast.
Do you have your sock ready?
I have my sock ready. Red Rocket.
That might have been the most disturbing South Park ever.
It was. It really was.
Did you see the South Park with the Indiana Jones, the new Indiana Jones movie?
Yes, of course I did.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Did you see the new Indiana Jones yet?
No, I won't. I'm not going to watch it. I've decided I'm not watching it.
Oh, you have to watch it.
No, I don't think I can.
Oh, I think you I think you must. That's your job. Have you? Well, that's right. You did see Batman. I'm like, it's Shipwreck who hasn't watched it yet.
Right, right. I will. I don't know. They have it on Blu-ray at my video store. I'm pretty sure. So it would be easy for me to get.
Oh, you have to get Indiana Jones. Just watch it once, and we'll talk about it next week.
All right. Choco Block says, "Hey, GPD and Wombat, did you ever get to play the free Xbox Live game called Doritos Dash of Destruction? If so, what do you make of a company's producing and sponsoring games for advertisement? Also, as many people have downloaded, they now have a lot of ads on people's gamer cards." I think it's a smart move for these companies. I mean, you look at Burger King did that thing with their with those three games for Xbox and Xbox 360, and everything that I've read about it said it was a huge success for them. And if it's free games or cheap games for us that, you know, at least are sort of worth playing, then I don't have any problem with it, as long as it doesn't, you know, start to overrun the Xbox Marketplace or the PlayStation Network store. I don't see any problem with it. I haven't played it.
Yeah, it's not like the game automatically downloads when you turn on your 360. Right. You have to, like, download it.
Right.
So you're the one.
I haven't played it.
You're reaching out to their, oh, it's not terrible. It's not good, but it's not terrible.
Right.
Yeah. You're a dinosaur. You run around. You eat trucks. Good time had by all.
Sure. All right. BSESB2003 has a question. He says, I have to say that Netflix streaming movies is really cool, and I have many downloaded games via Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. How long do you think it will be before games and movies, for that matter, are sold strictly as downloads? Therefore, no used games, no borrowing games, no swapping games, and same for movies. Sony created Blu-ray and won the format war over HD DVD, but why is any disc needed at all if you can just stream for Netflix or download the game to a hard drive? And then he goes on to say it would take a big hard drive, but it seems like this is the direction that things are going. Actually, there was an article on the New York Times, and the article is called Blu-ray's Fuzzy Future. And it goes on to talk about just that yes, Blu-ray they've won the high-definition disc war, battle rather, but they haven't won the high-definition format war yet. and that in fact things are tending towards internet downloads for movies. For games, I don't know if it's going to happen as fast for games, but definitely it seems like, you know, we're already there for movies. There's no question about it. We're there now. Netflix does it. Your cable box does it. You can get HD movies right now.
I think it's easier for movies also because with most movies, you watch it and you're done. Where games take, you know, there's time. You know, if games were all completed in 2 hours, you know, it would be a different story, but they're not. So I think there's more of an investment when you start a game. You know, Fallout 3 took me 2 weeks to finish. That's an investment. So I don't see what, you know, that's part of the download issue, I guess, in its own way. And again, it's the hard drive. I think it all comes back to I won't feel comfortable downloading things until I know that what I'm downloading is mine for as long as I can possibly keep it. And right now with the download system, that's not the way it is.
Especially $60 things.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, it's now. The time is now for movies. And for games, we'll have to wait and see. The thing to remember is that one of the benefits of having a game on disc that you go to a store to buy from the publisher's point of view is that you have all the marketing that comes with it, you know.
And I don't know how powerful they are these days, but I like to think that, you know, there's a lot of power in those Kmarts and Walmarts and Targets and Best Buys and GameStops and EB Games that can put enough pressure on the game companies where they're saying, no, you can't go to all digital because we need you and we're helping your ad, you know, your ad revenue. We're part of your marketing dollar.
Yeah. So I don't know. So for games, it might be something different than movies, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. Let's see here. GameMind 303 says, if you were an alien from another planet and the only thing you knew about video games were Kotaku comments from posts, would you A, think video games were fun activities played during times of leisure, B, torture devices used only to make people unhappy and beckon outcry, C, destroy the earth after the first read? I don't think that the comments on Kotaku are particularly bad. In fact, they really heavily moderate that site from what I've heard. So I don't know. People get banned. If you step out of line, you're gone. So I don't know if it's really that bad. I think I think I would choose A, I guess. I don't know if I would choose any of those things.
I think he wants you to say B.
B? I don't know. People seem unhappy. No, I think people... I don't get that impression. I mean, honestly, though, I don't read a lot of the comments on Kotaku or really on any blog.
Yeah, I mean,
most blogs I just have in my RSS
blog
reader. Right, except the Yu-Gi-Oh! Games blog you read because the comments are somewhat entertaining if you like to... If you feed off of people's unhappiness. I have most of these blogs are on my Google homepage or in my Google Reader, and I just, you know, I just read the stories there. I don't really ever click through. Very rarely do I click through to the actual website. I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't really care what people who read those sites think or any site, you know. I'm just trying to get my news, I guess. Saunder Scowie says, hey, Cheapy, I am studying video production at college in the UK, and I am currently writing a short film, and I thought you'd like to know I've named the main character David Abrams, which is my name, Wombat.
I did not know that.
If I ever get the chance to actually film this for real and make money, I'll be sure to give you 0.1% of the profit. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Now this is a binding legal contract. I thought you should know that, so...
I can't believe there's no main character named Wombat Man.
Wombat Abrams.
Wombat Abrams.
Here's a little bit of trivia. There was actually a character named David Abrams, spelled exactly the same way, on a TV drama that was in the, I guess, in the 80s, late 80s. And the show was called Crime Story. And it starred Dennis Farina as a Chicago cop. And it was like a sort of like a cops and mafia type show. It was actually one of my favorite shows, And David Abrams played a Jewish lawyer.
What a shock. Who played David Abrams?
He was tough, though. Stephen Lang.
Oh, I know Stephen Lang.
It was actually a great show.
He was a client.
David Abrams dated a black woman, I remember, in one of the episodes, or a few of the episodes.
And you would never date a minority.
He would have to, right? He'd have to kick some ass once in a while.
I bet he would.
Hey, she's not a minority here.
That's true.
Okay. This question is, I don't know. Johnny Ebb wants to know if I've ever taken ecstasy and played games. I believe I did with Rez. Not Rez HD, but, regular Rez BSD. It was pretty good, as you would imagine. Oh, he wants to know about your new ending for the Dark Knight movie that you came up with. But maybe he should read a post about it. Did you ever make a blog post about it?
I didn't make a blog post. I posted it in the show thread of that show with me, you, and Chipwreck.
You should just cut and paste that into maybe enhance it a little bit and put it in your blog.
I could do that. I mean, it's a much better ending.
It was interesting. I don't think you wanted to start getting into it now.
No, because it takes a long time to get into. It's actually a pretty well thought out ending. But
yeah, it wasn't bad.
No, it's better.
Okay, it's better.
Thank you. Just admit it was a better ending.
Thomas 96 says, looking at games graphically on a generational basis for the 360 and PS3, which console do you feel has accomplished more? Can Killzone 2 really be the best console FPS? And if so, will consumers care? I mean, Wombat, do you see much of a difference graphically between the PS3 and 360?
Not really. I don't think there's a difference. I think you'll be happy either way. Is that... Am I allowed to say
that? I think there's great-looking games on both systems.
Yeah.
I don't. And if you look at the multi-platform games, I don't know if one looks better than the other. I think each game is a little bit different, but I don't think one really stands out and says this is you have to get it on this system. I think if you look at the way that the consoles differentiate each other, the online play. And, of course, the 360 stands out a lot more in that category. Can Killzone 2 be the best console FPS? I don't know. I played it at Tokyo Game Show, and it seemed pretty cool. I don't know if it would be the best. It could definitely be a top one. I know that Maxim recently reviewed it, and they gave the 50 Cent game a better review than Killzone 2.
That's very funny. I mean, could it be the best console? Sure, it could. I could also be president of the United States. Lots of things could happen.
Right.
I think the more important is, will consumers care? And the addendum is, will consumers care if Sony obviously doesn't, as they have done zero advertising?
It's coming out February, so real soon.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the kind of thing where they should really be taking the Grand Theft Auto route, and you shouldn't be able to walk down a city street without seeing posters everywhere for Killzone 2.
Yeah.
And they don't want to sell games.
How cool would it be if they could time a price drop with the launch of Killzone 2?
It might be a great idea. I mean, even that, it's just you have to get the word out there that this game, I mean, is Killzone a viable franchise? That's question number one. Are people looking forward to Killzone 2 because it's the sequel to Killzone? Are they looking forward to it as the best FPS on the PlayStation 3? Why do people want to play it? How can you highlight the reasons why people that want to play it already want to play it and get people who don't know about it interested for those same reasons as the people that are willing to buy it? And these are the questions that I don't think anyone at Sony is sitting around and asking. It's as if they're not talking to their community. It's as if they don't know what they're selling. It's like they've never played a game before in their lives, and it's frightening.
Maybe what I would do is, if I was Sony, the first Killzone that came out for PS2, it wasn't like a huge critical success, right? I mean, it got good reviews, but it didn't get... Call of Duty 4 reviews. Okay?
No, wasn't the seller they thought it would be.
Right. So maybe a better strategy for Sony, because this is, look, there's no question, this should be a big game for P- PS3.
And the thing is, I am sure it's a great game. Like, everyone I know who's played it has said the game is a great game. So I'm convinced this is going to be a great game. So we're not knocking the game at all. And we're not knocking the console at all. That's not what this is about.
Maybe it would be better for Sony if they didn't call this Killzone 2. Because maybe that'll turn off some potential customers, like people who don't own a PlayStation 3. And maybe they, you know, they call it Killzone, colon, you know.
I like that, Killzone, colon.
Killzone, colon, the colon. you know, you combine that with a price drop for the with the console and, you know, and you know, some quality marketing and, you know, ads and stuff, you know, maybe you get people turned on. Maybe people are turned off by the two because if they didn't play Killzone 1, they think, oh, maybe I can't play this game.
Now, I think we're talking about people who don't own the consoles. You really need to shove it down their throat, and you should be shoved down people's throat with gameplay, not with, you know, stills or, you know, full motion video, but show some gameplay on TV during shows of people that are going to buy this game. You know, go find the right demographic on the Comedy Centrals and the Adult Swims, and even, you know, during shows like Chuck on NBC and Big Bang Theory. You know, do some network advertising and really say, you know, this is the future of gaming, and make people believe it. Because right.
Killzone 2 is not exactly a compelling name for a game. They didn't put a lot of thought into that. No. They added a 2, Wombat.
They did add a 2. Good work.
And, you know, as we say, this should be a very important game for them, and it's a critical time for them.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get someone on the Today Show to play it. Okay, that would never happen. But get someone, you know, maybe someone on Late Night.
Yeah.
Why isn't Jimmy Kimmel playing Killzone 2?
No. Yeah.
Because this is an M-rated game, and that's your audience.
Okay. Pavi Gill has a few questions for us. He says, GPD and Wombat were having a... He was listening to some older shows, and GPD and Wombat were having a friendly competition on who would get farther in GTA 4. And by the sounds of it, you were really addicted to that game, and all of a sudden the game became the runner-up for most disappointing game of the year. Did you give it that title after Saints Row 2 came out, or were you planning on giving that title to GTA 4 all along? No, I just got tired of doing the same mission over and over again and then dying in the middle of the mission and having to restart it. And I think that happened to you too, Wombat, but I think I won the competition. I think I got farther in the game than you did.
Oh yeah, most people did.
Yeah, you never got up to, like, the big bank robbery scene, right?
No, I did not.
Four-leaf clover or three-leaf clover? No. So I definitely got farther than you. So I won that. Maybe, you know, I think when I played Saints Row 2, wow, we almost went a whole show without mentioning Saints Row 2, Wombat. Whew, that was close. After playing Saints Row 2, it just reminded me of all the shortcomings of Grand Theft Auto 4 and why I stopped playing it. He also wants to know what I prefer, who I prefer more, PlayAsia or Amazon. Well, most of the time, Amazon won't ship games to Japan, so PlayAsia. But I think most Americans will say Amazon. For you, Wombat, he wants to know, after Yu-Gi-Oh! Let you go, are you going to try and get a job at another website that will give you around $1.50 per post?
To be perfectly honest, with all the shakeups in my private life company, not having the blog to write is probably one of the better things that have happened to me this year because I'm a little busier and I need to be a little more focused. So
extra pressure too.
Yeah. It's a little stressful at work right now. So I'm glad I have my sabbatical.
He also wants to know if it's fine to hard time to play games now that Sabrina is in your life.
It sometimes is. I mean, it's hard to say, I guess.
Oh, you can tell me.
Well, for the most part, we have her down to her schedule, and she's been pretty good at it. You know, she goes to sleep at 7:30.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, if I want to play...
She wakes up at... What time she wake up?
Sometimes she'll sleep through till about 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
Which is good, because that's when the Mrs. Alarm goes off anyway. So that works out for me. The most part, she'll usually wake up sometime between 2 and 3, and then you just need to feed her, and she'll go back down until at least 6.
Wow. So if Ty went to bed at 7:30, my wife would never see him until Saturday.
I see, it's a hard thing to do because it means there are days that do go by where I don't really see her at all.
Right.
But her, I mean, it sounds silly because she's only 6 months old, but her attitude has completely changed, and she's a much happier baby.
Interesting.
And she's a much better behaved baby. She doesn't get cranky anymore.
Right.
She's never cranky. She's always happy. She's always smiling.
Except when she can't push that shit out.
Except, well, that, I mean, that's the other thing. When she's doing both, when she's pooping and sleeping, I mean, you know, all I need to do sometimes is just stick her in that bouncer that you got us, and she goes to town. She went to town on that thing yesterday for almost 2 hours.
You're kidding.
No. Jumping up and down on that stupid frog for 2 hours. My cousin and I were rolling off the couch just watching her because she's laughing her ass off.
Right. Oh, that was a good gift then.
Oh, yeah. She's laughing her ass off by jumping up and down, flicking all the switches, making the elephant make noises, and she's having the best time of her life, and we found it so funny.
Like, does she ever fall asleep in it?
In herself. Well, the thing is, she'll start to get tired because it's so much work, and she rubs, and I'm like, watch, she's going to get tired. She's going to rub her eyes, and my cousin's like, babies don't really do that. And
Ty does it.
And they rub their eyes like cartoon characters do when they get sleepy. I'm like, oh, she's sleepy. And then you just pick her up and you put her in her crib and she'll sleep during the day for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Ty never would sit in that thing for more than 20 minutes.
Oh, I mean, she was in there for like an hour and a half yesterday. That was the longest she's ever sat in there, though.
See, I bought that and my dream was that he would go in there and, like you said, you know, jump up and down for an hour and a half and then just fall asleep right in the thing. Because I read that some babies do that.
I'm sure there are.
That never happened.
No.
What else do we got here? Okay, GameMind 303 says, what's the deal with Michael Pachter? I know he was on your show earlier, and that was interesting, but his recent predictions and opinions have been so off, it's ridiculous. And then he goes on to list some of his predictions. I guess he said that Little Big Planet was going to become a huge system seller, and it clearly was not, and that Mirror's Edge was going to be a breakout seller like Assassin's Creed, and Fallout 3 was going to have poor sales. And that the World of Warcraft expansion was going to be a bomb. And he wants to know what ultimately qualifies Pachter as a game analyst. If I was investing money on his opinions, I would be very pissed. Blah, 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 blah. And then he says, Wombat, I think this is your chance to get into the game industry. It might not be telling Sega how dumb their decisions are, but I think you could do a better job than Pachter. One of the things you have to remember about Pachter are all these predictions that he makes, you know, that, you know, when he gets interviewed by gaming media, like, that's not his job. You know, that's just free publicity for him and his company. His job is more of the financial side and to tell Wedbush Morgan, their customers, to give them investment advice in the entertainment industry. So what he's telling people on, you know, when he releases these little sound bites, basically, could be very different what he's telling his customers. You know, people who pay them for advice. So keep that in mind. Like, that's really not his job. He's just getting publicity for his job. And I remember he said that. Didn't he say that during our interview?
I believe he did. Now, what I will say though, also to add to this, is that if you were to give me a list of every game coming out in 2009, I bet I could get at least a 75% correct rate on what games will be a good seller and what games will be a bomb.
Why don't you do that?
I would need a list of every game that's supposed to come out in 2009.
I'm sure Shipwreck already has a list.
I'm sure he does. So if he sends it to me, I'll do it. I'll put my money where my mouth is. And by that, I mean no money. And by mouth, I mean I'm typing.
Well, SimExchange. You can do that on SimExchange. Yeah, you should try that. You might have fun with that. It doesn't take a lot of time.
I guess not. But I think I would be right probably about 75% of the time. Because I said the exact opposite of what Michael Pachter said in all of those statements. So,
right.
I would have been right and he would have been wrong.
Okay, Mick Bain has a question. We'll do a few more and then we'll get out of here.
A few more. It's already way past my bedtime, by the way.
I'll do one more.
Yeah.
Okay. Mick Bain says, with the loss of so many qualified people at the UGL 1UP acquisition, do you think that many of the remaining people left at 1UP will leave to pursue other things, perhaps with their laid-off coworkers? Much like Brad Shoemaker, Ryan Davis, Vinny Cara Vella and Alex Navarro did when Jeff Gerstmann was fired from GameSpot. Keep up the good work, guys, and Wombat, I hope you get employed soon. Well, Wombat's already employed. He just lost his fake job.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really pay him anything. You know, it's a sort of a different climate, economic climate right now. I think the people that still have their job at 1UP are, you know, while they miss their friends, they're pretty glad to have a job.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go anywhere soon. And I think that 1UP is still a viable website, and to leave it would be foolish.
I think it would be. I mean, look, people at GameStop, they had you listen to Giant Bomb, right? The show?
Yeah, I do. It's a very good show. I like it a lot.
So you probably know a lot more about it than I do. Are these all got those people that he just named, are those people that all work at Giant Bomb now?
Yeah. Except for Alex Navarro. Alex Navarro actually works for Harmonix. I want to say Harmonix.
Oh. So, I mean, Giant Bomb is a website that was created by a company. So, like, they didn't just get together and start a website. They were hired by a company who created the website. I'm sure they had a lot of input on the website, but it's not like they just stopped, right? Am I wrong about that? Or no?
Well, no. Giant Bomb was created... I'm not exactly sure what came first, the Gerstmann or the egg, but I know the two were probably around the same time. It was probably a bunch of people talking, hey, we should form what we have. They had Comic Vine and said, hey, let's make a video game website. And I think the Jeff Gerstmann opportunity may have just hit at the right time, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that the Giant Bomb is owned by Whiskey Media, which is a company that was started by a guy who co-founded CNET. So they are employees, I'm assuming, of Whiskey Media. Anyway, and if there was another company that came along that was going to start a website, then maybe these people would be interested in joining, but it just seems like the wrong economic climate for that.
Yeah.
All right, Wombat, another show in the can.
Yeah, this is a good 2-hour one, so.
That was pretty long. Let's see what kind of housekeeping I have. Of course, you should sign up for that free 2-week trial, netflix.com/CAGcast, and especially if you have an Xbox 360. It's a no-brainer. I've gotten emails from people who have done so and really like the service, so definitely check it out and help support.
And we like the service. We have it.
Oh, I love it.
Exactly.
I love it.
You can watch Eagle Eye starring Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf!
Right. I don't think I'll be on that. I also want to remind people to review us on iTunes. I haven't checked lately to see. I'm supposed to pull reviews off there and read them. I always forget to do that. Please review us on there. Also, follow us on Twitter. Our usernames, you just go to twitter.com/cheapyd or /wombat5277. Or /shipwreck, and I'm actually updating Twitter pretty frequently.
Yeah, I've started doing it, you know, even a couple of times a day now, so.
It's fun. Yeah. I like it.
Well, I linked it to my Facebook.
I had some guy sort of scold me because I was talking too much about duty.
You?
And, yeah, I mean, hold on, maybe I can find it.
You talk too much about duty?
Yeah. He said that nobody cares about... I wish I could find it. Basically, oh, here it is. He made some note. He said, okay, he gives me this note. He says, clue: there's virtually no demand for a Howard Stern of gaming. Stay on topic or follow the diapers. Just blame Wombat, but do it. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, just blame Wombat, but do it?
I think he wants you to blame me for something. I don't know. The guy's a jerk.
So I actually wrote him back. And this is all on Twitter. So I actually wrote him back and I said, I don't know what that means. And then he says, it means that I don't have the slightest bit of interest in your child's bowel movements. Neither do most other gamers. Well, you're following the wrong guy then.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's not like you're forcing him to go to your Twitter page.
I know. Come on. So don't go to the Twitter page. I don't care. It's not like I'm getting like a dollar for every follower I have.
Oh, I wish I was. I'd have $5.
I'd have $1,133.
Wow. I think I have like 400 people. How do you have so many?
Because I'm Cheapy D, damn it.
Whatever. I have a lot of female followers,
Space
though.
Pimp.
I noticed
me and Chris
that.
Grant are like head-to-head right now with the number of followers. He has 1,118, and I have 1,133. So I'm winning.
You're the best.
You hear me, Grant? I got your ass. Now he's going to say something, and he's going to blow me away.
Probably.
All right, Wombat. Thank you for joining me today for another exciting episode.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I think I'm going to fall asleep at the desk.
I am going to get some lunch now. I'm starving.
All right.
Maybe ramen. Big ramen.
What'd you call me?
Big Wombat.
Awesome.
See you next week.
Bye.
Here's my mind goofing off. My mom says it probably looks like some vegetable, but no plant could be so smart as to pick one machine that plays Sega Genesis and Sega CDs. That's the JVC Xi. She could care. Put your mind to work, she says. I say Xi comes with Contents Interactive Encyclopedia. Hey, it's a CD player. Plus, you get stuff for free. So now it's see what you can do when you apply yourself? One mind, one machine. Xi, multi-entertainment system. Call 1-800-JVC-XI.